Okay, that works. Let's just remain seated and sing the chorus 377, My Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness. And He sure does. Lord knows a way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. My Lord knows a way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Strength for today, mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. We just know that the Lord works through us all. Sometimes we don't know it, but we're there open to be used of God as we place ourselves in His hands. 387, let's sing that one. We are heirs of the Father.
We are heirs of the Father.
Good to come to church and to worship the Lord, to know that He was there before you came. He's there with you now and He'll be there when you go. What a friend. Let's sing 404, All I Want to Do Is Love Him. So glad I feel His love for me.
All I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never love Him, love His holy name. All I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day I will praise Him. I'll know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love Him. Once more.
Seated for the moment. You know, we just need to love him. One thing I know, that if you want to know where you stand with the Lord today, just think what it was like yesterday and add on a few years or whatever it takes to go way back. Times when you used to come to church and things didn't register as against where you are now and why you come to church. It's good to know where we've come from, good to know where we are, and it's good to know where we're going. I'll just pray now and just invite the people that are listening in to come and be with us. Lord Jesus, we do praise and honor your name. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the I Am. You're the one and only God. You are the creator of heavens and earth. And Lord, we know that you have a future for us because you've let us know about it and we've followed your word. Sure, we make mistakes. But Lord, we just give you honor, welcome you and your Holy Spirit into this auditorium and on the airways, Lord, to the as the people listening, undertake for them, Lord, undertake for us. Cause us to just realize that there is something there for us just to receive it and to apply it to our own lives. Lord, we need you, we need you, we need you. There's no way that we can do without you. And we don't want to avoid you, Lord. Forgive us for all our times of just not thinking right or making decisions that are not God-elected. But Lord, you understand all these things and you still love us. You loved us in our sins before we were even conceived, Lord. You put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're so very, very grateful for that. Just be with those, Lord, that are not here today or those that may still be coming. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, we welcome Howard and June back and the girls. May the Lord bless you, or have been blessed. So give us some blessings here now. Praise God. Well, let us stand and sing I'm In That Number, number 406. You know, if you know that you were in that number, you can sing it with enthusiasm.
I'm in that number. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. Number, I'm in that number, Lord.
Good to know we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Number 280. Haven't sung this one for a while. It's I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. Think about the words as we sing this hymn because it's true, so, so true.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like
certainly did. Let's sing 277. There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. As we sing it, just note there is a presence, and that sweetness, that lightness in your heart, that relief is the Lord doing it through the Holy Spirit to you.
There's a sweet spirit in this place, and I
find out, we'll know that we have been revived. We shall leave this place. Blessed is he not received.
I wasn't advised of any items this morning. Did we have any? I know Mel, Barbara don't have them because they've been crook all week, but the Lord's healing them and they're sitting there in the forms right now. Okay. Well, let's sing another one for the moment. In Shady Green Pastures, number 44. Do you feel like you're sitting under a cool, shaded tree, knowing that the Lord has everything in control? In shady green pastures, God leads their children. Seated. You know, while that music's still on there, and the words, I was thinking, you know, if we just some through the waters, is that your need? Some through the flood? Some through the fire? All through the blood? Some through sorrow? And it can be weary and wearing and wearing. But you know what? The song also says, God leads us along. He's there with you. All you got to do is hold his hand and walk through the flood and the flame and the problems. He hasn't let you go. He's just letting you walk through it. But he's right there to pick you up if you should stumble. Do we have any prayer requests anyone would like to indicate? Because there's none on the internet. Yeah. Jackson, did you say? Yeah. Okay. Pray for Jackson and his healing. Any others? Any other unspoken prayer requests? Just raised hand. I'm actually going to pray today for the people that listen in, knowing that specifically besides Jackson's request from his mother, I would like to remember them. And you people that are listening on the internet, on the CDs, whatever you have in your heart right now that you would like to be prayed for, this is for you, not from me, not from the church here, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. And his Holy Spirit, which is here in the auditorium, is also with you wherever you are listening. Just hand over your needs to him. He will uplift you. He will step you through the sorrows which I just mentioned on the fire and the flood and everything that comes against you. God is still there. And you know what? When you think about it and relate to it, you actually get an uplift. Well, I do. That's in my experience, knowing the Lord's right there. My wife and I often talk about it at home, about where God's just stepping in. And he's done this for us. And he did that as well. And we didn't see an answer to it. But there is an answer there. And we've just experienced it. So it's for anybody that wants it, can have it. The Lord will see that you'll get it. Just hold on now as I pray. Lord Jesus, you are such a wonderful, almighty, one and only God. We appreciate you, Lord. We've come this morning collectively to express our love to you. We're so grateful that you, after making all this universe, and created everything that's on it, you want to know from us what we think about you. Lord, for me, I can only pray for me that I love you, Lord. And I stand identified with that, what you did on the cross of Calvary. It was for me. Lord, I know this in my own heart. If I was the only one on earth, you would have gone through it for me. That's how much you love me. And I know, Lord, that all of the others that desire the presence of God in their life, they can have it. I particularly ask at this time for those listening in, whatever is on their mind at this moment for their need, it could be, it will be many varied needs They may want to find the true God. They may want to find a place of worship. They may want encouragement. They may be heavy with depression. They could be in pain or not loved by their family or friends that they did before. God, Jesus Christ, is still there right with them. And I uplift them, and this church here uplifts those people wherever they are, whatever language they speak, whatever color their skin is, whatever age they are, male or female. You are the one we need to refer to. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us. And I just think about the hands that were lifted for the unspoken prayer requests that we have locally. We say thank you, Lord, for fulfilling the needs, Lord, for getting us through, because we know one thing, we will make it because you provided the way. We love you, Jesus. We love you with all our heart. Just be with us, Lord, as we continue in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I got a bit of advice today, the other day, from my Bible here, which is a Holman Bible. And I thought, well, yes, that is good advice. So I just thought I would read it to you. It's brief, and it may help you. And it says here, this is not the words of the Bible, it's the people that have printed it. How to read the Bible through. Reading the Bible through from Genesis 1 through to Revelation 22 is not the best way to read the unique library. You would be a long time getting to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Gospels. A balanced reading of the Bible calls for reading the Old and New Testaments simultaneously. And it goes on, place a bookmark, one of them things, in the Bible at three places, Genesis, Job, and Matthew. By reading one chapter from each of these sections every day, you will read the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in about 18 months. I have found at times that, you know, you can read something and be interested in the New Testament and realize it's related to things in the Old and vice versa. But I thought that was a pretty good thing. I'll just read the last bit again. Place a bookmark in the Bible at three places, Genesis, Job, and Matthew. By reading one chapter from each of these sections every day, you will read the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in about 18 months. So I thought that was good advice if one wished to follow that up. But whatever you do, keep reading your Bible. Okay, and we have no, what do we call it, songs, items? Okay. Well, let us all sing one more. It's a nice short chorus, and then Brother Howard will come. It's 338, and the kids like to sing this one when we had a lot of kids here. Wide, wide is the ocean. Shall we stand as we sing? Wide, wide. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, lunch as usual today. We've got a 1 p.m. service today and 7 p.m. Tuesday prayer meeting. So you're all welcome to that. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all. It's great to be back. Missed you all very much. Seriously. And I just thank the Lord that we're able to gather together here and be a part of you and you people viewing us this morning, including Brother Bill and Sister Jan up the coast are joining in. God bless you, Brother Bill. And some of the children are away, so they've just opted to stay there today. And I appreciate everything that the brothers and sisters have done while I'm away, the brothers with the music and all that, the brothers preaching, that's really good. Heard you playing, Brother. I heard you playing, Brother Peter. I heard you playing in Ireland, and it was good. Sounded good. I thought, boy, that's good. Who's playing that? That was very good. And so we sort of been listening a little bit to the services when I could. We had a very busy time. I don't want to go through it all because you need to be there. It's really hard to explain things, but as you know, basically we went to London, preached two services in two churches. We went to Germany, had two services in Germany, Crayfield, Germany. And then we went to Northern Ireland and we had five services, I believe, there. Five or six, I'm not sure. And then we went to Singapore. We had four services in Singapore. And with the help of my little phone, which is sitting up there now, we videoed all the services and they're all on the internet. And people have been really blessed by that. So we just thank God for the technology. It's a blessing and a cursing all at one time. Isn't that amazing? So, let me just say something about that. People spend far too much on their phones, far too much time on their phones. And I say, you say, what's wrong with that? Well, you haven't got time to think about God. Unless you're listening to the Word of God, maybe. But I was telling Sister Pauline today, or yesterday, we were in Starbucks there and Singapore, and we had about 20 people, I suppose, maybe more, all in Starbucks, Lee, all sitting around tables. I looked around, every single one of them was looking at a screen. I'd lie not. Everyone, no communication, just living in their own world. Either looking at their PC or their phone, they were looking at a screen. We walk down the street, everyone's walking around like this. It's not right. There's something wrong. Now, the authorities have got a name for it, and they're very concerned about it. But I want you to say, be careful. Put your phones away and don't pull them out, especially in service. I don't see that happening here, but it's a really good thing not to do it. It becomes a habit, and you just grab your phone instead of your Bible and these sort of things. So I just want to drop that in there, but we had a very good time, and a lot of people send their love to you. Even maybe some listening here now send their love to you in the name of the Lord. I just apologise to people out there. We had three Sundays without the camera, but we're back on air. But they did hear live as well on audio, so we thank the Lord for that, and appreciate the fellowship we're able to have with the body of Christ everywhere we went. I want to say that God sustained me and kept me in a miraculous way. Sometimes I went to church, wonder how I could ever preach. I was so exhausted, but God kept me. And we've had very good feedback. Of course, people want us to come back there. And Brother Tommy McKinstry said the best service I'd ever had, but he probably says that to everybody. I don't know, but I just thank the Lord that we were able to be in Ireland and England and Germany and Singapore, and they want to arrange meetings for us, a convention in Malaysia in the not too distant future, which will be there and back for me, because I just find it a lot easier to do that. So I just pray that God's will be done, and that our God's will be done here in Gisborne. Been really challenged in my own life to get closer to God. It's just, you know, if you saw a graph of your life, it's up and then it's down, up, down, some real down ones. And then you see up and down, up and down. But I want to get more of a parallel. I don't want to be up and down continuously. I mean, we do have our trials, and they are very needful, of course. Trials are sent by God, allowed by God, should I say. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. And God allows these things for one purpose, to draw you closer to God. If everything's going, you know, all smooth and easy going, you don't seek God. You just live out your life just full time, flat out. But when you start going through a trial, as Sister Barbara's been having, you start thinking about these things. And it's the way God does it, you know. He helps us to refocus on where we're going. We're so caught up with living. The cares of this life, the Bible says, the cares of this life choke the word and you become unfruitful. So I just thank the Lord that he has graciously and wonderfully spoken to my heart and is continuing to do so. And I just thank him for his love, and I thank you for your prayers, each one of you who have prayed for the success of these services. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless here in a double portion of his spirit. Who wants a God to come down here? You see, brothers and sisters, it's all hinged on one thing, Tim, is sincerity. Your sincerity to God. If you be sincere with God, he will be sincere with you. If you're casual, lackadaisical, God says, oh, they don't really love me very much. And it's just a continual battle to get back into the presence of God. The key is to stay, as Lee said, very good advice. Read your Bible. Feed on the Word of God. Get into an atmosphere. Don't get amongst, I would say, back to the dear phones again. When you start reading your phone, you start surfing the net, you're taken to areas you didn't want to go. And it's distracting you and taking all your time and spiritual energy away because you've been hoodwinked into thinking that's the thing to do. I want to say you need to avoid it with all your might. Stand against it because it is a habit. And may the Lord help us to have the habit of praying continuously. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. So, I've all preached now. We all go home. No, I really love you, and I know God is with us. No doubts about that. I've seen his hand, and I just pray that he'll be with us in the coming weeks and months, that he'll bless us and help us all. We had a real nice time in Germany. We played a brand new, wife and I, played a brand new Hammond organ, a big one like that, but brand new. And I've decided to replace that one and get a brand new one. By the grace of God, if we can do it, I think the people we're dealing with Wellington may be able to help us out. But it made me cry to hear it. Such a beautiful sound, so clean and pure. No rumbling speakers. Brother Peter, it was just beautiful. It was just really sounded so clean. Mind you, this organ has done extremely well. Built in 1956. It's done good mileage. And I really appreciate it, the one at home as well. But like all things, they get old and deteriorate. And you don't know about it, but we've had a technician here quite often trying to get things right. And it's just continually malfunctioning. And I just pray that it'll be a real blessing to us. So I played the piano in Germany, and June played that Hammond organ, and I tell you what, it was just so wonderful. They said, keep playing, keep playing. They really enjoyed it, so did I. So I praise the Lord for that. Now, we're just going to turn to the Word of God. I have a very important message this morning, and I want us all to take note of it in a sense of take it on board, because it's serious. I see a real attack of the enemy around about that is trying to undermine the Word of God, the Bible. This is our absolute. And I want to speak about this morning the absolute. The absolute. I'll explain what absolute means. And I just pray that God will bless us and help us. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word. I had three scripture readings. The first verse is found in John 17:17. And Jesus was praying this when he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Who believes that? Say amen. Thy word is truth. In Matthew 24, verse 35, we read the following. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Isn't that wonderful? This Bible will never pass away. When everything else fades, when the earth has passed away, this word remains. So you can hang your soul on it. You can hang your soul on it, brother and sister, not on preachers, but on Christ alone and his word. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I want to read this. Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, who would pervert the gospel of Christ." And I want to say this, there's a lot of perversion going on around the world. And the internet is a big problem. There's major rubbish out there. Things are not even true, things that are not, it's just, I can't even read it. It's just so horrible. Away from the Word of God. So I want to establish this morning that this is the final authority. This is God's absolute. And Paul says, "Which is not another God, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we," that's including Paul himself, "or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Pretty bold speech, but we need to heed to it. It's said for a reason, because God knows that we need it right now. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you, precious Savior. We love you, Lord, with all our heart and soul. And Lord, you know, Lord, that we need you. And we know that we need you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the delusion that's coming across the face of the earth, that we will be protected by it, by the Word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give us your Word, for it's a shield. It's a shield to our soul. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to every person here and those that are listening and joining with us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. For your glory, we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, our subject is the absolute. Now, I want to... I'm not good at English, but there's a little bit of English I know. So what I know, I want to emphasize here, and it's this. It says here, the absolute. It doesn't say a absolute, one of many, several options. Here's an absolute, here's an absolute, here's a... No, it cannot be. That takes away from the meaning of the word. It's the absolute. There's only one absolute. Like this, we say, this is the way home. You just go down here, turn right, go down that street, and you're home. It's not a way home. Oh, there's another option. Oh, yes, you go this way and go that way. There's only one way home. So we're specifying that it's the way home. This is the way, the Bible says in Isaiah 30:21, this is the way, walk ye in it. Isn't that wonderful scripture? This is the way, walk ye in it. I like the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, not a truth, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who believes that? Say amen. There's no way to God except through Jesus Christ alone. Not through some church, not through some special preacher. It's through Christ alone that we can come to him. So that's very explicit. Jesus said he is the way. There's no other way except by him. And God is without question laying down the absolute for us. God's final authority is in the Bible. Not in me, not in some preacher, not in the prophet of God, but in his word. So what does the word absolute mean? So I've been not that educated, I had to look it up. Now, the word absolute, Diane, you've been a teacher and all, is an amazing, amazing word. And this is what it means. Free from imperfection. Free from imperfection. This is free from imperfection. The word absolute means perfect, it means. Free from mixture. Don't add things to it. Don't take away. Just leave it. Pure understanding alone, without any modification. Isn't that a beautiful meaning? Being self-sufficient, I love this one, and free from external references. I don't have to keep bringing in this man said that man said this or that. Just leave it the way it is. It says it speaks for itself. Free from external references or relationships. And it means final authority. That's the word meaning of absolute. So it's a pretty powerful word. The absolute is perfect and free from mixture and stands without any modifications. When you come to a traffic stoplight, I want to say this, and it goes red, that is the final authority. It's the absolute. You can't say, well, hold on, I arrived at the intersection first. Sorry. The law won't accept that. The light went red, and that's the absolute. You stop. Does everyone understand that? It's very important to understand the word absolute. You go to a football match. The referee is the final authority. No matter, oh, I'm sure the ball went this way or he ran that way. The referee is the final authority, the absolute of the game. Regardless of what others think, the judge in the court is the final authority in the judgment, in a trial. Praise the Lord. Water. The President of the United States is the absolute of the country. You know, President Truman, many years ago, of the United States, had a desk sign saying, it's got a lot of power on this sign, but it's true, the buck stops here. The buck stops here. You know what that means? Well, the guy down in the store, in the shop, he passed the responsibility on to the manager. The manager passed the responsibility on to the people who set the goods or whatever, and it keeps going. Everyone keeps passing the buck, and there becomes a big storm about this issue, and eventually it comes right into the White House, right to the president's desk, and he says, it's no passing here. What I say is final. That's why he can free people from prison. The buck stops here. He's the absolute of the country because he's the president. And with God, the Bible is the final resting place. Somebody says, I believe this, I believe that. That's very nice, but the buck stops here. It's what God has said. Who believes what God has said? Brothers and sisters, exactly what God has said. Not what I think. It may be nice. It may be true. But it's what does God say? Because one day we'll be judged by what the book says. Not by what we feel. Not by the feelings we get from it. It's what the truth is. I love truth. Who loves truth? And the only truth, the solid truth, is found in the scriptures. If we stay with the Bible, we are safe as can be. Because God's going to hold the court. When he opens the court in heaven on judgment day, this book will be opened. He says, the word that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. So this is very important. It's the absolute authority of God's word. Now the Bible is God himself in print form. This is actually, the Bible calls, the word of God calls God the word. I want to read that to you, 1 John, John chapter 1 verse 1. It's really God in print, we could say. In the beginning was the word. Right from the beginning was the word. Before there was an earth, there was the word of God. The word was with God, and the word was God, or as the original Greek says, and God was the word. That's absolutely decisive. God was the word. Now I want to read to you something that Brother Branham mentioned on this. If God doesn't speak back through his word, when we see something, then just leave it alone. In other words, if you get somebody, oh, I have a great revelation, and it doesn't speak back from the scriptures, he said, leave it alone. It's not in there. Just leave it alone. As long as it's in the word, then I know that heavens and earth will pass away, but his word will never fail. Therefore, I believe, he says, the Bible to be the absolute truth of God. And it isn't to be added to or taken away from. See, it's without mixture. We read about absolute. It's without mixture. He says here, you get two men, you got two opinions. It's got to come to one final absolute. He says, my absolute is the word, the Bible. Who believes that? Good. We've got a good starting point. Where else would we go? There's so many opinions, so many churches, so many preachers. Everyone's got a song to sing. But brother and sister, this is the pure, unadulterated word of God, and it shall never fail you. So God's eternal word will never pass away. Everything of man will pass away. And God places tremendous respect on his word. God cannot lie. I want to say, God cannot lie to you. He'll keep his word and he'll sustain you by his word. Isn't that wonderful? He said, oh, I didn't feel anything. Oh, I didn't see anything. It's nothing to do with it. God will keep what he said he will do. And God places tremendous respect on that. His word was before there was a universe. Did you know that? Before there was a universe, God's word was there. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 1. Go to the beginning. Genesis means the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now listen to this. God said, that's his word. When he speaks, it's his word. So here's your word for the first time. God said, let there be light. And there was light. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, I've got a lot of scriptures and I'm going to just keep going, so just watch the screen if you're a bit slow on the pages. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Here it is again. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that blows the evolutionists out of the water, because it's not depending upon existence. It's depending upon the word of God. And it says the worlds were made and framed by the word of God. So we're instructed to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that. That includes water baptism too. Whatever you do, let's read that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. That whatsoever you do in word or deed, baptism's deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So the name of Jesus is above all names. Who believes that? As it says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. Wonderful, the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So his name is exalted very highly. But watch this. There's something higher. Yep. Let's turn. It says, God's, the revelation, his word, of his word, he's put his word above his name. There's the power of the word of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For that's his word, of course. His truth is his word. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, brothers and sisters, let me say this. This is a very powerful thing we have here. The word of God can raise the dead. Who believes that? The word of God can heal the sick. The word of God can change your life, make you a joyful, happy person. The word of God. So let's stick with it. Let's not change it, alter it in any way. The minute you alter the word of God, it ceases to be the word of God. The minute you put a variation on something, it ceases to be the word of God. We just say it the way it is, without mixture. The absolute is without mixture. So that is why God has made his word the final authority. Now we come to a question, very important one. Who can alter the absolute? The Bible. Who could change the Bible in some way? A lot of people think they can. I'm telling you. Maybe the apostles and the prophets had special permission to alter the Bible. Or what about the angels? Can they say differently from the Word of God? But not according to Paul. We turn to Galatians 1:8. As we read before, well, though we, that's including Paul the Apostle, or an angel from heaven, that's an angel in heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Wow. So you just leave it. You can't change anything. What about the last day prophet of Malachi 4, who we believe to be God's servant? He says here, from his own lips, from the prophet of God, and you people out there around the world who are listening in, take this on board seriously. He says, if I, William Branham, ever say anything, or any of my co-workers says anything towards teaching that's not found in the Bible, you let me know about it. And he says here, and let's just search back. If it isn't scriptural, then you leave it alone, he says. If I, William Branham, say anything in your presence as a doctrine or a teaching that's not in the Bible, forget it. Because it's not right. Why? Because this cannot be changed by angels, by prophets, or anybody. By Paul, even. It's written. It's a final authority. It's an absolute. And if any angel, I don't care how real he looks, he says, or how inspired he is, if he speaks contrary to the word of God, leave him alone. It's not of God. Colossians 1:8 said, the angel from heaven preach any other doctrine than this is what's already taught. Let him be accursed. We don't take nothing but what God says. He says here also, in all other words, I don't care how well they are placed, or good teachers, or they lay it out so wonderfully. That's nice. Who they are, where they come from, what denomination they come from, or how smart the man is, it's to be absolutely ignored. Anything that is contrary to the word. If a bright, shiny angel come up here and stands and says things that are contrary to the word, you would say, Satan, get away from me. Let me tell you a story. Martin, the great messenger, way back hundreds of years ago, had a vision of a great angel, looked like the Lord, bright, shining angel came before him. And he said, Martin, you know who I am? And Martin looked at him. He says, Martin, it's me, your Savior. Fall down and worship me, Martin. Please, I'm your Lord, bright, shining angel. Martin looked at him for a while, and he noticed there's something wrong. The angel had a crown on his head. He says, Satan, I resist you and rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he was gone. Because he said, you are not crowned until the end time, when the saints shall crown you Lord of Lords and King of Kings. From the scriptures. He knew it was wrong. You see, brother and sister, so something looks very attractive, it's got to be word-based. So it's very important. So he says here, you'd say, Satan, get away from me. That's right. If he's a bishop, if he's whatever he is, don't you never believe him if he doesn't speak exactly with that Bible word by word. Oh, I just thank God for this. Watch him. He'll carry you with the Bible now. Oh, yes. He'll carry you to a certain place. And then you'll hook it right there. When you see the Bible saying one thing and he bypasses that, watch him right there. Okay, what about God himself? Maybe God he could just change his word around. I tell you, this is a powerful book. Now we're speaking about the teachings and doctrines of the word. I mean, God can do as he pleases, but when it comes to the teachings and the doctrines of the scriptures, he must honor his own word. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Who knows that? Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. So God is fixed. What he said is what he means. He cannot lie. His word, which contains his promises, are sure and unchangeable. We can rest our souls upon the promise of redemption. Isn't that wonderful? If God says he's forgiven you, he has forgiven you. He cannot change that. He promised to every man, woman, boy or girl that can have their sins forgiven today, if they just ask him, he has to honor that. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He can't say, oh, well, I'm not sure about 2018. No. To whomsoever will, let him come. So, brother and sister, that's really a wonderful thing to know. You can rest your soul upon it. God cannot change. Malachi 3:6. This word which contains his promises are sure and unchangeable. Oh, hallelujah. The world can change. People's opinion can change. Men's ideas change. You know, they say it's okay for two men to live together and two women to live together. They are demons from hell. Once upon a time, they'd be imprisoned. In Bible days, they were put to death under God's command. That has not changed. It's evil and it's wrong. And we need to take a stand with God's word, brother and sister. For one day, they'll be judged by this. We're not against the people, but we're against the spirit that's controlling them. His word, which contains his promises, are sure and unchangeable. We can rest our souls on it. And do you know what God did to make it absolutely sure? I mean, this is nailed down, bolted down by God. I want to show you how infallible and how secure the word of God is and how unchangeable it is. Let's turn to Hebrews 6:17. Hearing God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. Now, that's a big word, but I'll tell you what it means. Immutability means not capable of or susceptible to change. Cannot change, basically. The immutability cannot change. That's what it means. Of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Oh, he's confirming it by an oath. Also, that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I want to read this to you. In the Amplified Bible, which has really laid it out very clearly for you and I in our English. And it says this: accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness and his purpose and plan, intervened or mediated with an oath. Promise, seal. This was so that two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath. Two unchangeable things. God cannot change, and his oath cannot be changed. In which it's impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us. We who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Now, brother and sister, what are you holding on to? The church? No. A preacher? No. You've got to hang on to God's eternal word. Who believes that? Which says it cannot slip, cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it, a hope, and reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. God actually swore by himself to make his word absolutely unchangeable. It's very true. The promise for you and I has been God swore by himself. And he gave it the same promise to Abraham. Why did God swear by himself? Does anyone know? Yes? No one greater. How do you know that, Diane? Because his word says so. Hebrews 6:13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swear by himself. So the unchangeable word was sworn by an oath by God himself, by two unchangeable things, God and the oath. Now this is extremely important to know this. This is an unchangeable word. You can rest your soul on it. This promise will take you to glory. This Bible will take you straight to the throne of God. This Bible will give you eternal life. Brothers and sisters, just believe it and don't change it. Just say what it says. In Numbers 23:19 it says, God is not a man that he should lie. We sing that song. God is not a man that he should lie. Brother Branham said, he cannot fail, no matter how funny it seems and how unreal it seems. It's got to be real because he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, infinite, and every word is perfect. He cannot change his program. He says, I can change mine, you can change yours. I can say something and have to take it back. I'm a man. You're a man and a woman, but God being infinite, he cannot make another decision about it. Cannot. He's got to stay with the first decision because every decision's perfect. Now I want to take the subject tonight, does God change his mind? You know, we can change our mind, he says. And because we learn a little different, we know we're wrong. But I don't believe God can change his mind. Because if he does, then he certainly could not be infinite. He could not make a better decision if he would change it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, it says this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endureth forever. They've been preaching for 2,000 years and it's still the same today. Hallelujah. Somebody please say hallelujah. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, we rest our soul upon the eternal word of God. No matter what others say, and they'll come and buffet you and try and knock you around. Listen, God said. If God says, go be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said to do. Very clear. And all through the Bible they did it. Don't change it. So where do we stand if God can't change his word? Every person, every minister must take on board this truth. Truth cannot contain 99% truth. Who believes that? Amen. Truth cannot contain 99% truth and 1% error. If it has 1% error, it's dangerous. God is perfect. Who believes it's a perfect word? Amen. Cannot be changed, cannot be altered in any way. I want you to nail this in your soul. By the Holy Spirit, don't listen to people who are trying to change the scriptures. Just say what it says, and God will bless you. Amen. If it's 1% error, then it's corrupted, and it's death in the pot, as we'd say. It's got poison in it. The minute you alter it, 1%. It was only one word changed in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. One word was changed. Listen to me, brother, sister. Listen to what your Bible says. There was one word changed in the Garden of Eden. Not a sermon. Just one word changed. It plunged the whole human race into chaos. You don't believe me? Let's see what the Bible says. God said to Adam, you know these scriptures well. I'm not going to look it up, save time. Thou shalt not surely die. Oh, sorry, thou shalt surely die. Here is me changing. God said to Adam, thou shalt surely die if you partake of the fruit. That's what he said. Thou shalt surely die. Satan came along and quoted God. Listen, watch the difference. He said, ye shall not surely die. One word, N-O-T. One word plunged the whole human race into darkness, sin and death. Every crying baby, every deformed body, every broken marriage, every dying man, every confused soul, every lost soul in hell was because one word was misrepresented. You see, brother and sister, what I'm trying to say is just say what God says. If you don't understand it, just say it anyway. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you change the scriptures. Just say what he says and God will bless you. The word spoken by Satan contained 99% of God's word. Thou shalt surely die. He said, thou shalt surely not die. Read your Bible. That did it. Everybody has been affected by that corruption. So it's dangerous to change it. Just leave it the way it is. But it deviated by one word from the absolute. And God has warned every minister and every person. Let's turn to Revelation 22:19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, just take away. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Don't change it. Just leave it the same. I want it to really sink in your heart. Just remember this. Don't change the word. Keep it in your heart. That's all you've got to remember the sermon. Don't change the word. Just say what it says. So we're each responsible to check out everything we hear with the Bible. You've got to do it. You've got to hear everything I say. You've got to check it with the Bible and see if it's scriptural. God is no respecter of persons. Preacher, prophet, priest or king. It's a sober warning to all pastors from the word of God. Jeremiah 23 verse 1. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Let me say this. There's a lot of pastors scattering the sheep. There are a lot of pastors who are not called to be pastors. They're confusing the people. They come up with all sorts of concoctions. The people don't know where they are. They don't know how they're saved. They have no assurance of faith. But brothers and sisters, we want men of God that will speak with the word of God and preach the word of God just the way God said. Who believes that? Just the way God said it. Stay with the word of God. That's what I love about Brother Branham's ministry, is because he stays with the scriptures. He doesn't alter things of the popular opinion. He stays with the word and he's pointing us back to the scriptures. Amen. That's a true prophet does that. A true minister, like he's like a little prophet too. He'll take you straight back to the scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds, that's a pastor, has caused them to go astray. Now these are warnings to preachers. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. That's going downhill. When you go from a mountain to a hill, you're going downhill. They have forgotten their resting place. We know what it is, which is in Christ Jesus alone. He is our resting place. And this is what's happened, brother and sister. They've moved away from the Lord Jesus. Malachi 4, which we believe, was sent to bring us back to the absolute. His ministry was to restore our hearts back to the Word of God. That is the function of Malachi 4. I encourage you to listen to the message, the absolute, yourself. Many say God has restored His Word. I've heard people say God's restored His Word, and in a sense we understand what they're saying. But in reality, God's Word does not need restoring. Well, I'll tell you what does. The hearts of people need restoring. The Bible says He'll turn our hearts, that's restoring, back to the original faith that was once delivered unto the saints on the day of Pentecost, the original gospel that's preached by Paul. It's wonderful. Who believes this is clear? Amen. I'm not reading into it, am I? I'm just saying what it said. Our hearts have been restored. The Word of God doesn't need any restoring. It's pure, unchangeable. It's people that need to be restored back to the Word of God. We need to be restored back to His Word. And that's what the ministry does. You know, when Brother Branham, I want you to listen carefully. Some of you folks out there listening, watching, when Brother Branham said, stay with the Word, what do you think he was referring to? People say, oh no, stay with my sermons or something. No. He didn't have sermons. He didn't have books. He was referring to the Holy Scriptures. Stay with the Bible. You know what his quote book was? He had a quote book. Who knows that he had a quote book? This is his quote book. He quoted from the Scriptures. He didn't quote from anyone else. I mean, he might have commented on some things. He didn't use quotes. He used the Bible. And so should we. I'm not against quotes. I've just read some. It's fine. But it's got to be into the Scriptures. Everything must be tied into the absolute. Being a true prophet, a true word prophet, he stayed with the Bible, stayed with the Word. He placed all the mystery truths in order, as we'd say, for us to understand. Tied all the loose ends, he would say. But it all presented one thing in the Bible. All God-given ministries stayed with the absolute. Every ministry that's sent of God throughout the ages stayed with the Scriptures. Martin Luther took a big step. I tell you, you may not know this, but Martin Luther took a major step that shook the world. He switched absolutes. He did. He switched absolutes. He switched from the Pope to the Bible. That's the truth. Everything the Pope said was God's word to Martin Luther. When the Holy Spirit came down and he showed him the word and said, the just shall live by faith, the lights came on. And this became his absolute from then. Isn't that wonderful? And this is our absolute. We don't have any man for an absolute. We have God's word for an absolute. And we've been taught by the prophet of God to do so. I just think it's so wonderful. Jesus' teachings. Now listen carefully, brother and sister. You can check me out if you want to. But Jesus' teachings were already written. He went back to the absolute himself. Believe me? Listen to this. We know Paul and Peter. They did the same. They never changed anything. And neither do we. No prophet changes anything. Even the Lord Jesus referenced back to the Old Testament for everything. He quoted it. He spoke about it. And sometimes he never actually quoted it, but what he actually said was found in the Old Testament. The Old Testament blended perfectly into the New Testament. You ever noticed in the New Testament it says, where he says, as it is written. When the Bible says, as it is written in the New Testament, what is it referring to? The Old. Because that was their canon of scripture. That's all they had, was the First Testament. Moses' law and all the books, the prophets, that's what they had. And when they said it is written, they're referring to the written word of God. Or they said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, Jesus said. He was referring to the Old Testament. He wasn't referring to the new, it wasn't written. Or he said, what saith the scriptures? Back to the Old Testament. Back to the Old Testament. And you know what? 31 times in the New Testament it is said, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. And Jesus said to the devil, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Where was that from? The Old Testament. Brother and sister, you see what I'm saying? We cannot alter anything. Stay with the word of God. 21 times is reference to what the scriptures say. What the scriptures say, referring to the Old Testament. And many other teachings from the Old Testament Jesus referred to without actually quoting it, but it's in there. It's a really good Bible study sometime. The word is the eternal word. It can never be changed, but it can just be revealed. It's just so wonderful. And each messenger revealed truth throughout the ages, for all the hundreds of years. They've all revealed truth. You know, Martin Luther, Joshua, lived by faith, John Wesley, sanctification. It was all in the scriptures already, but it just revealed. They didn't add anything. They just revealed what was there. Because it came from the absolute. It's a part of our message today. Justification, sanctification is very much a part of our message today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is very much a part of our message today. Because it's the word. And the bride tree has been growing up for hundreds of years. And we are at harvest time. We're at manifesting time. We should be starting to see fruit upon the vine. The original seed will be coming into fruition. Right on time and season. Ready for the garner, which is the rapture. I'm so glad we were pointed back to the absolute, our tie post. Matthew 4:4, I quoted this just a minute ago. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word, not just a little scripture here, a little scripture, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we found out this came from God. It's God written print. Okay. Where is that in the Old Testament? What Jesus just said to the devil. That's what he said. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus said to Satan. Where did he get it from? The word. Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, and then I'm closing. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's exactly the word Jesus quoted. So when the devil came to him and said, now, Satan, listen now, you know I'm the Son of God. You saw me perform the miracles. You know who I am. No, he didn't do that. He just quoted the scriptures. It is written. And brothers and sisters, when the devil tempts you and says, you're a great sinner, and you're no good, and you'll never make it. So that might be so, Satan, but it's written. It's written. If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's final, it's sealed, and God swore by it. Now get out of here. In the name of Jesus Christ. You see how important it is to know the authority? Is don't argue with the devil. He'll outwit you every time. Just quote the scriptures. And that's what Jesus did when the devil faced him. He just quoted the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. God's absolute's wonderful. God's final authority. Praise the Lord. And brothers and sisters, don't forget this message. Brother Bill, don't forget it. All of you out there, don't forget it. So important. Stay with the Word of God. Somebody says, oh, I got a new revelation. Oh, yes, you do. Where is it, the Bible? Where is it? Please, help me. I need to know. Well, I don't have a scripture. Well, until you have, I'll just leave it alone. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet, shall we, brother and sister? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord, the absolute is your word. We can hang our soul upon it. We can have blessed assurance that will take us through to heaven. Right into your very presence, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll help everybody to understand those people here and those listening, watching us, Lord, wherever they are, that they will bind this to their heart, bind the word of God about their neck, and realize that the absolute is absolutely important. I pray, Lord, that it'll be a living reality to everybody here. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll love you and serve you and walk in the light of thy word in this last day when there's so much perversion, so many ideas and all shifting values. Lord, I thank you that we have your precious word to hang our soul on. I ask it in Jesus' name. You bless every person here, Lord. And those joining with us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit it to you now for your glory. Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ, my, that's his word. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, yes, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, they cannot fail, when the house goes down, I'm standing. fighting with a sword. What is the sword? The sword is the Word of God. It's handled by the Spirit of God in you. When the devil comes against you and he tries to accuse you, just say, Satan, sorry, it's written. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense unto me. We just stand with the Word of God. He cannot argue against the Word of God. You can come up with all sorts of reasonings. You won't make it. You're no good. All that rubbish stuff he puts down every Christian's throat. Just stand upon the Word of God. It is written. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's wonderful. Confess your sins, and you shall be forgiven. That's all you've got to do. It's already done. It's already met. We thank God for it. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. If you'd like prayer for whatever matter, we've got His Word, we've got His authority, that God's going to do it for you. I can't do it, but His Word will. If you just believe it, God will bring it to pass. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout, sing. Standing on the promises of God, yes, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
It's an encouragement, isn't it, to know that it applies to you as the Word of God. I know it's the truth. And if you just think about it, you feel a lot more comfortable now when you first came in, if you believe what you was preached. And I sure do. It is the truth. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, it is a comfort to know that what you said is the truth, absolutely and utterly. We know, Lord, that you can't change it. Why? Because you made it perfect the first time, and there's no better way. And we're so glad about that. We know that you love us because your word says that you love us. So we claim it. We're very grateful for that. Lord, we just bless, ask a blessing upon the people that listened in with us here on the auditorium as well. We're not alone. We go through the battles because we need to, but God is with us every step of the way. There's not one moment of time that He doesn't know about each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for the meeting this afternoon at 1 p.m. We thank you, Lord, for the lunch. We ask a blessing upon the food that we're about to eat, and we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just bless us, Lord, as we close at this time. Amen. You are dismissed.